The presenting sponsor of Moon Tower Soccer is FVF Law.
To find out what makes FVF a different kind of injury law firm, you can visit FVF.law.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Swoon Tower Soccer. I'm Steph Criniola.
And I'm Mike Criniola.
And we're here about the boys. Today, we've got an exciting interview coming up with Harja Hall from Vancouver, and we'll get into that opponent spotlight in just a second, but we did want to take a moment to thank Michelle, our guest from last week, who had us on her podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. That's it, right?
You can find Simply Soccer on Spotify or anywhere you get your podcasts. Michelle and Christian were great hosts, and yeah, we got to recap the game and relive our glory.
Yeah, it was really fun for us, and they were very gracious to allow us to have fun and also
talk soccer.
Continued having great insight.
Yeah.
So if you want to actually know what the inside take from that Galaxy match was, we got a lot of that as well, and it was super fascinating.
Yeah, we had a lot of questions. They had a lot of questions. It was a really great conversation, so definitely recommend checking it out.
Yeah, and I guess...
stick around?
Yeah, with all that said, we can jump into the Har interview. We don't close out this interview, but there's really no nothing to say on the other side of it. So thank
Bye.
You for listening. We love you. Bye. We are joined here today with Harja Hall. Har, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on. It's great to talk Whitecaps with both of you guys.
Yeah, Har is a sports journalist covering the Whitecaps, MLS, and the Canadians women's national team, writing for the Daily Hive in Vancouver, Equalizer Soccer, and Canadian Soccer Daily. We really, really appreciate you taking the time to join us here.
No problem. Happy to talk Caps with you guys.
It's a pretty exciting weekend for y'all. We've got to hear that it's your 50th anniversary match on Saturday. They're expecting 30,000 people.
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm not 50, but the team's going to be celebrating their 50th anniversary going back to 1974, almost to the day. So May 5th. So they're a day early, but they're going to have 110 alumni at the game. There's going to be pregame ceremonies, a lot of events, a lot of fun, exciting things happening. You mentioned 30,000. That's the most for a Whitecaps MLS game. Part of the Upper Bowl is open, so they're looking to pack the place and really provide a huge boost with atmosphere and fans, and hopefully they'll be able to get their third win at home.
Yeah, we... I'm so fascinated by BC Place as a venue. I've never been. It's on my list. Reasons being that, like, having a retractable roof is always super cool. But then, like, having turf, even though you've got the retractable roof, seems like a little contradictory. But then I was reading about it earlier today. It holds like 50,000 people, but they have a secondary roof that they can put over to, like, lower the cap? Is that...
No, there's not multiple roofs. There's just one roof that opens and closes. Well, we live in a rainy Pacific Northwest, so you need that roof from time to
For
time.
Sure.
And Saturday, I'm confident it will be closed. It's still a little early in the season. I think we are expecting rain on Saturday, so it should be closed. But you mentioned the capacity. It's around 54,000. So they don't have a secondary roof. They tarp up the upper bowl and some of the sections with tarps. And so that it lowers the seating and it looks better on TV. And so for Saturday, they'll open some of the sections up in the upper bowl, not the whole entire 50,000. So it looks better than having just empty seats everywhere. So there's no secondary roof. And yeah, this is part of the package for the four games this year that they are going to open it up. So it's going to be a big event.
Nice. Sounds like it's a marketing terminology then from BC Place's website. Sus.
That's super exciting though. It should be a really fun day. It'll be cool to be a little part of it, even though we won't be there. Austin in general.
Yeah. So that kind of like, that history, I think, is something that was totally new to me before this week's preview on our sister podcast, Moon Tower. Moon Tower Soccer had Paul Dolan on, and they did a little preview as well. And Paul was the first person that I had heard bring up the 50th anniversary of the team, which kind of highlights why we do these shows, right? Because national MLS coverage can reduce a lot of complexity into generalities, right? It makes sense that MLS wouldn't focus so much on the club's history if they've only been in the league, you know, less time than that, right? And so how does the national take on the Whitecaps compare to local perspectives? You know, right now, Taylor Twellman thinks that the Caps are like an upper tier side in the West, and that summertime additions could really push Vancouver over the line here. And, you know, we know that Vanni Sartini is a personality, and we know that he's a lot more open with the journalist teams that he has covering the team than I think a lot of MLS coaches are. But we don't know a lot of that local flavor. And so we'd love to get your take. Like, is Taylor right first?
Well, they've always had the summer window where they've made acquisitions. We saw Junior Horlett come in last summer, Sam Adekube. We saw Richie Larea. We saw Richie come in. So the summer is when the Whitecaps tend to do their shopping. They got Ryan Gold came in, Julian Gressel a couple of years ago. So that's where Axel likes to do his business, getting
and
new players
Axel
coming
is...
into the environment. Oh, Axel Schuster, the CEO and sporting director, for the fans who are not familiar out there. He mentioned Taylor Twellman, some of the media on the East Coast, not really recognizing the Whitecaps. It's good to see that they're finally getting attention and getting a lot of buzz. People are seeing what they're doing, 5-2-2 to start the season. That's not always been the case. We saw last year the team had their Ryan Gold for MVP kind of promotion to get his name out there. They have the gold MVP hats they gave to media. So they're really promoting their club, and it's good to see that people outside of this market are seeing how good the team is with Ryan Gold, Brian White, Yohei Takeoka, Ali Ahmed, Andres Cubas, center midfielder. So many exceptional players. But I think for a while, the Whitecaps were not really seen in a big picture as a team that could contend at the top of the table in the Western Conference. Even going back to the start of the season, you had pundits like Sasha Kleiston picking the Caps to finish 10th in the conference. So people are finally coming around on how good this team is, and we'll see what they do on Saturday against Austin.
Yeah, so let's talk about how good they've looked in the past couple of weeks. So looking at their form right now, we see the stats. What is the story behind those? So what are you seeing as a Whitecaps fan that maybe a couple wins, a draw, and a loss isn't telling us?
They're scoring goals. I believe they're the only MLS team to score a goal in every game this season. So we've seen in the previous few years where they've come out of the gate slow, where they haven't been able to get those goals, where they've not gotten those results. So we're seeing, you know, even away from home, they've gone into tough places like Seattle, Frisco. They went to Red Bull and got a draw last weekend. So they're doing really well on the road, and we're hoping to see, the fans are hoping to see them continue that form at home, where they've gotten 7 out of 15 points so far this season. So they've struggled a little bit at home, the last game against the Galaxy. Here they switched off for a little bit, and then the Galaxy scored 2 quick goals to win 3-1. So I think it's about taking that form away from home and then bringing it back to BC Place and putting on a show or doing really well in front of the fans. So yeah, they're scoring goals. They're getting big saves and a lot of stops from Yohei Takeoka. The defense isn't making those mistakes. Maybe not the LA Galaxy game where it's costing the team. So goaltending, goalkeeping, scoring goals, strong defense. It's really a mixture of components that's really helping them to get off to the 5-2-2 start.
First off, I want to thank you for the goaltending switch up there. I know hockey is huge, and I know y'all are in the midst of a playoff run up there, and so I get where the where the head is at for sure. Does that come across as well in the fan base for Vancouver right now? Is there like competing allegiances?
Well, with the Canucks and the Caps?
Yeah.
I think the fans here in Vancouver, they support all the teams here. So the Canucks fans are Whitecaps fans and vice versa. You know, I've asked Vania a couple of times about the games with the Canucks, and he's dialed in. He knows the goalies. He knows what's happening in the series, who they're going to play next round. So they're just supporting each other, and everyone wants to see all the teams do well because it's good for the city. It's good for the fans. So that's tremendous. I don't know if you guys support the Dallas Stars. That's a little bit north, but maybe
yeah,
not.
Yeah, we're transplants from New England, and so we are Bruins.
You are. Why
we're Bruins. Yeah, we're a Bruins household here. We can move on pretty quickly. I know. And so one of the things that jumped out to me is that a Whitecaps team doesn't seem to be a team that wants to hold on to the ball. And, you know, y'all went to Red Bull Arena and you forced Red Bull to hold on to the ball. Like, another team who desperately does not want the ball. Austin's kind of like playbook this season on the road has been to cede possession. What do you attribute, or what do you expect to happen this Saturday as far as the possession game is concerned?
Definitely similar for the Whitecaps. They don't hold a lot of the possession well. They like to get teams on the counter, on fast break, and get their opportunities and score. So they, looking at the stats, you know, they've not had a lot of shots and shots on target. If you look closely, they're getting those shots off right when it counts. So while they're not shooting a lot, not getting a tremendous amount of chances, they're burying the ones that they have, and that's really all you need to do. So it's not so much having a lot of possession is what you do with the little bit that you have. And so it'll be a cat and mouse game to see who has the ball, who wants the ball, and then who can attack in transition. So it should be a really fantastic game. I know Austin's on a bit of a run of form right now. So we'll be interesting to see who does what with the ball when they have it.
Yeah, and I guess in that game, what are you looking for from Vancouver to crush that winning streak that we're having?
I think getting out to a fast start, getting an early goal will be helpful. We've seen them do a little bit better scoring goals in the second half. So I think if they can get out to a great start and then use that 30,000 fans in attendance to boost them, to spur them on, that would be tremendous. We could also see a slow start where either side doesn't really want to give away too many chances or too many opportunities. So it depends on, you know, if these two teams want to play or if they want to sit back and wait for their moment. So we could have two different kind of games. But with the fans in attendance, with these two teams playing so well, I hope we get a lot of goals. I hope we get an exciting match for both teams.
Yeah, I know listeners to our two shows here, Moon Tower and Swoon Tower, will be intimately familiar this week with Brian White as kind of the non-DP DP striker that y'all have, Vanny's favorite player. We have heard a lot about that from Paul Dolan. We've heard a lot about Ryan Gauld in this conversation even. Who do you think are some of the more important players for Vancouver that maybe are under the radar?
I would look at two Canadians on the flanks there. Out wide in Ali Ahmed and Sam Adekube. They're both expected to play for Canada this summer. And, you know, they've been tremendous for the Whitecaps when they're healthy, when they've been on the pitch, just getting the ball, moving up the pitch, sending those crosses in, picking out their teammates, just giving the Caps chances to score offensively. You know, when they're not in the lineup, you notice how the offense kind of struggles a little bit to create chances. So having Sam and Ali healthy and able to get in there and play and contribute, it makes a huge difference. And also you look at off the bench, Fafa Picot, he's super fast. He brings a lot of agility, and also he's had a bit of trouble with an injury. So he's getting back to full fitness. He did come on against the Red Bulls, but he's already got 3 goals this year. So Fafa's been instrumental, and he's someone who I think could also be a spark if he starts or comes off the bench. So they've got more than just Brian White and Ryan Gold that can contribute. They're going to have Andres Cubas back in the midfield. He was suspended to yellow card accumulation against the Red Bulls. So he's got freshness. He's not tired. He's had a week off. So he'll be in the middle of the park, you know, breaking legs, delivering big tackles.
Yeah. Fafa is a player that we know very well from his time in Houston. And so when he went to Vancouver, I personally was pretty worried because his play style fits that counterattack style so well.
Yeah.
And good Lord, is he fast.
You can already see in the small sample size in the first month and a bit that when he comes on, they're a different team. He can come on when the defenders are tired and just wear them out, you know, getting crosses in, passes. He has that MLS experience. So he's another veteran addition along with Demir Krylak that give the Whitecaps two good options off the bench if they need it.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier being appreciative that the Whitecaps are getting some recognition as a top table team, top of the table team. What is the current fan narrative around the club? So you've got 30,000 folks coming this weekend, obviously a really exciting event for y'all. Is that something that you've seen an uptick in crowds and fan support, or what has that looked like this past year?
Yeah, the crowd support has been fantastic. The fans are coming back in droves. I think every home game has been above 22,000 for fans. And so that's great to see the fans getting behind the team, supporting the team. You know, they made the playoffs last year. They have a coach in Vanni Sartini where every time he says something, it's a great quote. And the fans love him, love his character, his enthusiasm, and his passion. And that just rubs off on the team and the fan base. So the fans are truly behind the Whitecaps. They want to see them do really well. And it spurs the players on. You know, we had players here last year who were thinking, you know, are there going to be any fans? Where are the fans? Well, the fans have turned up and they're passionate and they want to see a winning team. And you look at what the Caps have done this year and they're rewarding their fans with their 5-2-2 record. So the fans are back and it's great to see them.
Nice. That's yeah. Awesome. I can't imagine that a soccer club has 50 years of history in either of our countries without having a ground support that can like sustain that, right? I know last year the team was super underrated from the national perspective. Was that accurate at home as well? Was that something that fans were sleeping on the team as well, or were they starting to come back last year as well?
I think so. In the early part of the season, in the early few months where they got off to that slow start where Ryan Gold hadn't really picked up scoring until the second half, we saw Brian and Ryan go on that tear in the second half and really propel the Whitecaps to a playoff position. But it kind of was building throughout the year. And then we saw the crowds against LAFC and, you know, booing Maxim Crepeau and just getting behind that and then the playoff games. And so, yeah, it was building, and then now we're seeing it carry over into this season where the fans are coming back, and you know they're excited to see what the team can do. And then you know we had Vanny suspended for the first part of the season, and the fans were still supporting him. You know, free Vanny, and the team did very well with Coach Mikey coming in, the assistant coach Michael DiCostino, and so they've kind of just carried on from last year, and they're run of form on the road as well, and so. It's kind of the same roster as well. Obviously, they've lost a few players in the offseason, but it's the same Whitecaps, and now they're finally getting recognition for what they're doing. So it's great.
Cool. I guess I had one kind of more personal question for you, Har. Like, if you could tell us a little bit about how you got your start covering the Whitecaps. I know a lot of the fans here in Austin, you know, we're a relatively new fan base and a relatively new team into the league. And so understanding people's pathways into covering the sport that they love so much is, I think, illuminating for a lot of our listeners.
Okay. So they've been in the league in MLS for the year. And so they were playing at Empire Stadium. And I didn't cover the team in the first year, but I was still in school. And so finished that up. And then 2012, there still wasn't a lot of people covering the team because they're fairly new and they're trying to figure out how to cover the team and what they're all about. And so I just like applied, and then I've written for various outlets over the past 12 years. And so it kind of keeps going. And then, yeah, just one thing leads to another, and then this and that. So, yeah.
So it was kind of like a passion project for you. Like, oh, I like soccer. I like the Whitecaps, and no one's covering them. Or was it like
close enough? Well,
it almost sounds like you were reporting for different outlets, and then did soccer just kind of find you?
There just wasn't a lot of people doing soccer because you know, Canada, hockey, hockey. So I love soccer, and I could cover these guys, and I could get into that, and so that's what I need.
That's awesome.
Well, Hart, thank you so much for joining us. We're really excited about this weekend. We're nervous about this weekend, but we're really excited to see what happens. So thank you for spending a little bit of time with us.
Yeah.
And good luck. Have fun.
Yeah.
And then, thank you all for having me on.
For sure. And let people know where they can follow your work and find the stuff that you've written, because I have learned so much about the Whitecaps reading your coverage over the past few weeks.
Oh, thanks. You can find me on the internet at Hard Journalist. So I'm writing for Canadian Soccer Daily, Daily Hive. And so I'll always put my work out there so people can read it, like, share, tweet, do whatever.
Perfect. Yeah. And we'll have those links in the show notes too.
Sweet.
Cool. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.